Meteorhead, number 81. And as you come to me electronically, that doesn't make sense at all. I have to rephrase that. You don't come to me electronically at all. Yeah, you just listen to me. In fact, you don't listen to me at all. You listen to an electronic reproduction of my voice, made from sound waves that have travelled to you through the. Well, that's not right either. That's the old-fashioned radio system. You're listening to a reproduction of my voice made from ones and zeros. Strangely enough, I haven't even said ones and zeros yet. I haven't made any mention of either of those digits. Well, except once when I was referring to the fact that I hadn't. Well, you know what I mean. The usual thing that I say at this point. If you're a regular listener, you'll know that at this point I'll usually say something like, I haven't mentioned ones and zeros at all, except now when I just mentioned the fact that I haven't mentioned ones and zeros at all. Inherent within that statement was at least one mention of the phrase ones and zeros. So, make up your own punchline, based on, well, not your own punchline, not your own original punchline, but insert the obvious punchline based on what you've heard me say in the past. That'll save us a little bit of time, because we're on a schedule here. I have to have this recorded and up today. That's not a legal requirement, but I want to finish show 81, get it uploaded and onto the internet today, Saturday. I'll probably be 7 days late, so you won't notice. I haven't reached my schedule. You'll probably think, oh, he probably means today, Saturday, and he seems to have got her up by Saturday, so that's grand. Well, that's not grand at all. It's a week late. That's completely messed up everything. It means I've got nothing done this week except other non-podcasting related activity, which is probably, that's probably something very important that I had to do. Let's speculate on why I'm putting this out a week late, shall we? Assuming, of course, that I do put out a week late. Let's see what could possibly have happened. Well, I've been minding a dog for the last week. That's one possible distraction. Small little Shih Tzu. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Little Shih Tzu. He's not from a zoo at all. That doesn't make sense. He's just a little, you get the idea. And he's a lot of work. I'm finding that he's a lot more work than our cats. We're cat people. We have cats, and they don't bark at all. They don't go around going ruff 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 every time you leave them in a room for a moment and go off to have a piss. No, they don't do that. They follow you into the toilet and they demand to be allowed to drink from the toilet, and you refuse to let them. And then they demand to be allowed to drink from the tap, and you refuse to let them, and then they do it anyway. So that's how cats work. Dogs are a little different, I'm learning. This dog basically goes around crapping in our kitchen all night, and then he goes around barking all day and demanding stuff, and being a dog, but not in a good way, in a bad way. He has all the bad elements of the dog world and none of the good elements of the cat world. What would not being a cat? So I have to say it's a little disappointing. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, if you're disappointed by something, that obviously means you had higher expectations of it. Than what it proved to be, and that's a badly constructed phrase. Well, I think you know what I mean, seeing as how I'm quoting what you're thinking. It's you that's thinking, it's not me. I'm just saying I know what you're thinking, and I'm quoting what you're thinking. The fact that I put it into words incorrectly has nothing to do with me. It just means you're a fuzzy thinker. You're incapable of transmitting your thoughts to me. Especially, I think it's quite an achievement that I'm able to read your thoughts when you're listening in the future and you haven't even thunked them yet as I'm recording this. Because, of course, this isn't live. So you're there. two or three days from now, you're listening to my podcast and you're thinking something, and I've had a pretty good go at guessing what you're thinking. So don't come round to me correcting grammatical errors or errors in the construction of my sentences when I'm doing that, because it's quite a big task I have here ahead of me. Well, it's not ahead of me. Well, it is ahead of me if you think that I'm. If you consider that I'm analysing your future thoughts that you haven't thought yet as I'm recording this, but you're thinking as you're listening to this, so then it's a task ahead of me. But I've already done it. I've done it just now. Analysed your thoughts, and I've decided that I know what you're thinking. You're thinking. Well, I can't remember what I said. You're thinking. It's probably something about, I don't know, the dog or the cat or. Oh, there was something about disappointments, wasn't it? Yeah, if I was going to say that I know what you're thinking regarding the concept of disappointment. That if something happened and you're always disappointed by it, then, oh, I don't know, whatever. It's your thought, you explain it and come back to me. Think it again and I'll have another go of reading it. And this time do it coherently so I can analyse it. I'll count you down, and when I count down to zero, you start thinking that thought again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I wasn't thinking anything at all. I don't know what he's talking about. And I don't believe that he can read my thoughts, especially when I'm in the future and he's recording that in the past. So he's talking absolute crap. And he's just counted down from 5 to 0. It's like a little gimmick. It's like something a magician would do. It's like while he's trying to hide the trick. A magician will go and distract you by putting his two fingers up behind the head of someone in the audience so it looks like bunny ears. And while he's doing that, his magician partner will be removing a rabbit from his back pocket and unfolding it. And probably breeding with it or something, I don't know. And I don't know. That bloody dog is after lifting up a piece of compost from the compost heap and he's dragging it around with him in his mouth. Now, I think he's trying to eat it or play with it, I'm not sure. I don't know, it's a bit of the roof. He's carrying a piece of the shed roof with him. I suppose that's slightly better than compost, I don't know. Given time, a piece of felt off the roof will rot and will become compost, but not very nutritious compost. I mean, the idea of compost is that you get your old grass cuttings and old rotting vegetables, if you have a vegetable garden, and you put them in a heap in the corner of the garden and you let them rot, and then you use that stuff as fertilizer. You fertilize other things that you're going to grow, and then you use the waste from that as compost again. It's the circle of life. Everything goes from food to shite to food to shite to food. You recycle it. If you're a good farmer or a good gardener, you know how to make the best of that cycle. You rotate your crops around to different parts of your plot every year, so as not to use up all the nutrients. But then the dog comes along and takes the piss out of you by ripping a piece off your shed roof, or finding it behind your shed and eating it. There you go, I don't know. I suppose I should put a stop to it. Maybe there's lead in that. Dog, stop that immediately. Stop that. There's a good dog. He's stopped now. He's looking around to see where the command came from. He's not looking at me. He seems to think the command is coming from somewhere else. Dogs don't like to look you straight in the eye. If you go and stare a dog straight in the eye, he knows you're their master. So he probably does like it. It's probably fulfilling for him. He knows he's fulfilling his role as subservient creature to you, the master. If you stare a cat in the eye, it'll slap you. It'll basically punch you in the face, or it'll claw you. And then it'll ask you for some food. And then it'll remove food from your plate if you have any. Actually, it won't ask you. Cats don't ask for food. I don't know where I'm going with that. I've become distracted. Now, this is a warning. The following segment contains crackling for the first 2 or 3 minutes of it. That's because I had something not plugged in right. And, well, it was plugged in right. It was plugged in correctly. It's just that it's malfunctioning. And you have to twist it a little for it to function properly. Because it's cheap and aging. Now, I know what you're thinking there. That's some sort of a vulgar thing that he's saying. He's trying to make some vulgar... what's that word for something that's a word that's... Oh, it's like a word for something else, except it doesn't mean that. An analogy, that's the word I'm trying to remember. It's a vulgar analogy for something, and you're trying to be vulgar and disgusting. Well, no, I'm not. You'll realise in a moment that there is actually a crackling noise in the background at the beginning of the next segment. And I thought I'd do you the courtesy of warning you and letting you know that it's not your equipment that's faulty, it's mine. Your equipment is functioning perfectly well. Well, insofar as I can ascertain from this distance. Your equipment is fine. It's just that it's your enjoyment of the material that you're using your equipment to receive is being hindered by a problem with my equipment, which I failed to deal with until approximately 3 minutes into the next segment. So there you go. That's a warning for you. And, oh, and this is a note to myself, if I'm listening to this during the editing process, this is a note to me, make sure you put this segment before the segment that has the crackling, otherwise it'll make no sense. I know what you're thinking. Back in number 80, I put in an editing note about a segment, but I put it in after that segment instead of before it, so it made no sense whatsoever, unless you had listened to the preceding segment first, which now that I think of it, you probably did, because you listened to the segments in chronological order as I placed them. There's very few of you listening to the show backwards or hopping around from section to section, so there you go. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking he seems to be finished saying what he has to say. He should stop speaking now. I'll stop recording. I probably should, but I got distracted by the fact that I found myself inadvertently, unthinkingly using a piece of grass as dental floss for the dog that I'm minding. I was just sitting there holding a big long piece of grass, and the dog decided to try to eat it. And I moved it from left to right, and it turned out he makes absolutely excellent dental floss. The dog seems quite happy with it. He's got his happy I've just had my teeth cleaned smile on him. There was probably something stuck between his teeth. It was probably a piece of grass that he was eating earlier, and I managed to release it, ironically using another piece of grass. That's excellent. That's basically the food cycle again. It's not so much the food cycle as the non-food cycle. The stuff that you put in your mouth but don't swallow cycle. It's in the same category as things like chewing gum, a baby soother that they don't swallow. They suck on that. There's all these sorts of things that you put in your mouth. And they're almost consumables, but they're not. They're things that you chew or you suck. Things that you lick probably don't count, because you don't insert them in your mouth. They don't go quite as far as that. So they're from a different category again. They're from things that you will put up against your face or your mouth, but you won't insert them. A bar of soap would be like that. If you don't have a sponge or a cloth to put the soap onto, you wipe the soap directly on your face. If it's a face cleaning emergency, and soap is the only washing item available to you, you don't have anything to which to apply the soap other than directly onto your face. But that rarely happens. I don't know. It rarely happens to me anyway. Maybe it happens to you more often. Who am I to decide? Anyway, this, as I say, this is a warning. The next piece contains some crackling at the beginning. But it's worth listening to, as far as... Insofar as it's your sort of thing. It probably is, though. If the rest of this stuff was your sort of thing, the following thing will be your sort of thing, too. Or else it's not your sort of thing, but you like listening to other people for whom it's their sort of thing. That would be me. So you like listening to me because it's my sort of thing, and you enjoy listening to me enjoying it. Whatever works. Thank you. something that, that you too are a user of that you'd be familiar with. I suppose de is an over-familiar word to use. I should say a garden or my garden. If I say de garden, you probably think I'm referring to the whole planet as a garden. You probably think I'm one of those people who says that the whole universe is our back garden and we all get to play with it, play in it. Well, we don't. That's nonsense. I wouldn't want to share a back garden with you. No offence, but our back garden is for us and our cats. There's Pippi coming out over the fence. She's going meow, meow, meow. Therefore, you probably surmised that Pippi is a cat. Well, she's not. You got that wrong. Pippi is the nickname that I give to... I can't be arsed with that. Pippi is a cat. I can't be arsed with all that kind of nonsense today. Basically, Pippi has just come over the fence into the back garden. And she's come from the front garden. And no, I'm not... that isn't some sort of... acronym for the southern hemisphere and the northern hemisphere, or... one half of the globe and the other half of the globe. The front garden is my front garden and the back garden is my back garden. In fact, technically I'm in the side garden, but it's not separated from the back garden in any way other than by a 90 degree bend. So there we go. Now there comes our other cat, Chitty, who's probably trying to rape Pippi. I'm not sure. That's usually why he follows Pippi. Pippi, come here. Pippi, come here immediately. Pippi the cat. Pippi the cat, I command you to approach me immediately. There's a good cat. Now, here's Pippi now. There's a good cat, Pippi. Well, off you go. Keep walking in the direction that you were going and walk past me and then continue in a straight line and sniff that thing there. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm the Dr. Doolittle of my side garden. I can talk to the animals. They're not able to talk back. They're not as sophisticated as me. They don't know animal language. I do. The cats don't. The cats only know how to make little purring noises and basically that's basically how cats work. Well, they don't work. They malfunction in that way. They're cats. Now I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking you're stating the obvious. Yes, I know it's not obvious to you. You can't see them, so it's not remotely obvious to you in any way whatsoever. It's not obvious to you that the cats have just been chased away by the dog. They've gone back into the front garden, the southern hemisphere, if you like, if you insist. Pippi's still there looking over the fence, and I'm belching. Now, I've noticed that Chili the cat and Gastro, the dog that we're minding, are very similar in colour. And were they both to be our pets, if they were our two sole pets, they would match the furniture very well. And, until one of them craps on it, and the crap would come out brown, and that wouldn't suit the colour scheme at all. We it would have suited our old colour scheme. We used to have brown cushions, but we changed to red cushions to match a red and white mat that we got, and the black leather armchairs, our luxurious leather armchairs. So no, that wouldn't match the new decor at all. It would have matched the old decor, but we didn't have the old decor when we got Chili. We had the old decor when we got Pippi. That's why she matches us. So possibly Pippi is out of date now. We should rid ourselves of her and get a more a cat that fits in, basically. It doesn't go around being non-coordinated. But you can't go around talking about animals like that. Animals aren't fashion accessories. So don't be disgusting. Start off on some new subject here now. You're probably expecting me to say I'm out in the garden and I've just seen a mouse running across the lawn, or it's just occurred to me that I need to go and have a piss, or something like that. You probably expect me to start off on some new tangent now. Well, I don't think I'm going to. There's nothing here to inspire me. I'm out here sitting on a piece of concrete which runs along the side of my house, and all I can see for miles and miles around is my side garden. Now that's an exaggeration. Well, it wouldn't be if I was small. If I was a flea, all that I'd be able to see for, as far as I was concerned, miles and miles around would be this garden. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that would be for feet and feet around, or meters and meters around if you're in a metric insect area. Well, I'm not convinced about that. I'd say that by coincidence, the flea world has developed their languages in the same way. And what looks like a mile to them, well, to the scheme, say, to their scale, they've probably chosen to call it a mile. Not that they've adapted our word mile, they just happen to coincidentally have come up with the same word somehow. There's probably some guy sitting on a stone one day in the insect world, a little beetle or something, and he probably said, "Oh, look, I can see for miles and miles around. That's a good word. I think I'll use that for that new measurement that I'm inventing." And similarly, in the human world, there was probably some guy sitting on top of a hill one day, and he said, "Oh, look, I can see for miles and miles around. I'm glad someone invented that word miles that I use. I think now I'll start a protest against the new metric system that the Brussels is trying to bring in. I think I'll start a riot, actually. Yeah, I think we'll start a riot. I'm going to start a riot. I can see a city down there that would make a good place for a riot. I'll dig up some of these trees and set them on fire, and we'll use them as basically fire sticks. It'll be a stick with fire on it. I'm glad we invented fire first before we invented kilometers and miles and things, because they make a good protest tool." That's what the guy in the hill said. Those aren't my thoughts, by the way, in case you're judging me by this, me, Neil O'Carroll. I'm just speculating as to how the word moil was invented. Now I've messed that up though, because I tried to say that it was invented by this guy sitting on the hill saying I can see for miles and miles around, but then I said that he said that he was glad that the word moil had been invented. So basically what I was implying there was that the word moil had already been invented when he sat on that hill. So I've messed that up. Makes no sense whatsoever. But that's because you distracted me. Well, I distracted myself with worrying about what you might think of me if you thought that I was trying to suggest that it was okay to start a riot in a nearby city that you can see from the top of a hill. Maybe I'm obsessed with what other people think of me. Call me old-fashioned. I don't want people to think that I go around starting riots or thinking about how I might start riots, because I don't. Not for stuff like that, anyway. Not over the metric system. Not least because I've got no problem with the metric system. It makes perfect sense to me. There's 10 feet in a mile. There's 10 miles in a kilometer. Well, that's not true. I made that up, but that's just an example. It's a fictional example of how the metric system works. If you want to. Non-fictional example of how the metric system works. Well, here's one. Here, you didn't see this coming, did you? You didn't think I'd actually come up with a real one, but I will. Just to keep you happy. There's 100 centimetres in a metre. There's 1,000 metres in a kilometre. Hence the name kilometre. Kilo. Metre. Kilo, of course, is from the old word meaning thousand. And thousand, of course, is from the old word meaning... there's a lot of these here, so we better come up with a word for this. So someone did. They said, "Oh, look, there's a lot of them there. There's like 1,000 or something." And some other guy went, "Why don't you just call it 1,000? And he said, "Well, we better count them then to see how many there is, because this is going to matter for millions of years into the future. We're going to have to work out how many people are here, or how many things are here that we're counting. And that's going to be called 1,000 from now on." The other guy said, "Well, we'll count how many hundreds there are." So they counted, they split them all up into hundreds, the things that they were counting, and they discovered there were 10 hundreds, and they said, "Oh, we'll call that 1,000. So if there's 10 hundreds, that's 1,000. And that was very convenient. It was lucky that there were 10,000s, 10 hundreds there on that day, because otherwise there could have ended up being 900s in 1,000. and that would have been fucking ridiculous. So anyway, you're probably wondering what they were counting. So am I. If you want me to speculate, I will. They were counting blades of grass on the back of a dog's tail that had fallen off because someone had sharpened a blade of grass too much and had accidentally cut off the dog's tail. Now, I say accidentally. Grass is an inanimate object, so they can't do anything accidentally or intentionally. It just happened. It was a freak accident of nature. A sharp blade of grass was swishing in the wind as a dog went by and the dog's tail got cut off. And that's how that happened. So there you go. You asked me to speculate. I'll speculate. Don't shoot the messenger. Shooting the messenger. Why would you shoot a messenger? Well, if the messenger was armed and he was a messenger from some sort of hit squad, well, or from some gang who'd sent him to kill you, then you might shoot the messenger. If you had a gun and any sort of self-survival instinct, then you'd probably shoot the messenger, unless you'd learn some sort of other self-defense, non-lethal self-defense that you were confident enough could keep back a guy with a gun. I don't know. Maybe you young people have some sort of new survival techniques that I don't know about, whereby you whip out your phone and you go on to Bebo and you send him some sort of a die message, some sort of application on a Bebo or MySpace that can withstand a gun. You probably do. I don't understand what these social networking sites are capable of doing. All I know is if a messenger turned up here with a gun and pointed it in my face, I'd be inclined to try to put a stop to it in some way. And by putting a stop to it, I don't mean allowing him to shoot me. So if he asked me if I would allow him to shoot me, I'd say no. And not only that, I'd be more active than that. I'd actually defend myself against him. Ideally, I'd remove the gun from his hand and discharge it, or to remove the bullet. That's the same thing as discharging it, isn't it? Oh no, well, I don't know. It's probably just... I don't know how guns work, so I'm not a criminal. I don't go around carrying guns or using them against people. All I'm saying is if someone came along and pointed a gun in my face, I try to change to make the situation end in such a way that it involves me not getting shot. Ideally, the other guy not getting shot or injured either, because otherwise I'd have to go to court and explain why the other guy ended up getting shot when it was him who was holding the gun. Because there'll probably be questions asked. There'll be questions like, are you okay? How's your head feeling? Do you want me to call an ambulance? And then there'll be further questions like, do you want to come down to the police station and spend the night here? And then there'll be further questions like, did you think that was an actual question? Did you think you had a choice in the matter? You're coming with us. And then there'll be further questions like, do you need a toy for your court appearance? And then there'll be further questions like, did you shoot this guy? And if you didn't, who did? And why is he dead? And was it really necessary to bring his corpse into the court, seeing as how he can't really testify? And I know technically he is evidence, but we have people who could take photographs of him and remove any evidence that could be of any use. Have you not never seen CSI? And then there'll be questions like, really, you've never seen CSI? And then there'll be other questions like, well, why haven't you got cable? And then there'll be further questions like, how do you plead? And then there'll be further questions like, are you deaf? And then there'll be further questions like, so how are they treating you in here? And then there'll be further questions, but I can't think what they are. I find it hard to think that far ahead. I'm not a lateral thinker. Is that the word? No, it's not lateral. I'm not a very forward thinker. Well, I am. If you're listening to this as a potential employer of mine, then I am a lateral thinker and a forward thinker. But if you're not a potential employer listening to this, who's heard about my radio show and my CV, then I'm an idiot. Depends. And you have to target your content at your audience. So if you're one of the people who've seen into your head mentioned on my CV and you're listening to this, then I'm an excellent person. I'm one of the finest people in the world. You should hire me for whatever it is you're considering me. If you're one of the regular listeners, hey, it's me. It's just me. It's your ordinary regular person who you like listening to because he sounds like this. Either way, thank you for listening. It's been Into Your Head, number 81. Go post in the guestbook at intoyourhead.com/stalk, or preferably leave a voicemail there on the same web page, intoyourhead.com/stalk. You can plug your microphone into the computer and press record, and it's all virtually instant, and you just speak, and I'll put it on here on the show, and we'll all be absolutely delighted. And goodbye. This is a postscript to show number 81. Regular listeners will know that I like to sometimes do a urination session of the week when I'm in a position to provide one. So happens, I've just realised I'm now currently in a position to provide a urination session of the week. My cat Pippi is interrupting us by meowing at the door. She wants to drink from the tap, so I'll allow her. But I'm not being disgusting there. I mean, she wants to drink from the tap at the sink. I'm not a... I don't know what you thought I meant there. It'd be ridiculous. It's a cat, for Christ's sake. There's laws against that sort of thing. Anyway, here comes the urination session of the week. Sponsored this week by... by a generic version of the energy drink Red Bull. Not real Red Bull, another Red Bull from a supermarket that happily comes in 1 litre bottles. Hence this show existing. So here we go, the urination session of the week, any second now.